Nick DiGilio show continues here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are here until 4. It is 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about some ideas that shouldn't have worked but did, and also some going to see some stats about how actors who get killed the most on screen. So, and more, 312-981-7200, 2 for Tuesday, who requested the Phil Collins?
That's coming to us from Mike in Old Irving Park.
Mike in Old Irving Park, a little studio. All right, so, Fran Capo is a comedian, a motivational speaker, 18-time author, spokesperson, TV host, comedy producer, and 6-time world record holder as the fastest-talking female ever. She's also an adventurer. She's bungee jumped. She's scuba dived with sharks. She's eaten fire, crawled in a polar bear den, driven race cars, did a book signing on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and even went down to the wreck site of the Titanic. She's performed on every continent, even Antarctica. Busy woman. Frank Capo, it's nice to meet you.
Hey, how are you?
All right. Well, you keep busy, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just a little bit here and there. You could tell sometimes people go, now where are you going? It's like, you know, where's Waldo? Where's Fran? You know, where the heck is she? You know,
where are you from, Fran, originally?
Well, you could tell from my accent, right? Texas? No, New York. I'm New Yorker. Yeah.
And so you grew up in New York?
Yeah, I was actually born in Greenwich Village. And then, so I lived there till I was about 5, and then we moved to Queens. So pretty much all my life, I lived in Queens. Now I live upstate.
Oh, okay.
Which when I was moving upstate, I remember, because I live in a pretty remote part of upstate, I remember the movers going, are you in the witness protection program? I'm like, no, I like the country.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it must have been something to be a little kid in Greenwich Village.
Well, you know, it was really weird because I lived on 206 Thompson Street. For anybody familiar with the village, it's not far from Washington Square Park. And when I was little, I remember every morning hearing roosters crow or chickens, you know, making noise. And I would hear it in the morning, but not at night. And I remember asking my mother, boy, they're so noisy in the morning. And they're very quiet at night. My mother didn't want to tell me it was a slaughterhouse across the street. So I found out much later on in life. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Fran, have you always wanted to, you know, be an adventurer, to travel all over the place? Has traveling been a passion of yours for a long time?
It's not so much travel. It's like I have this thing, like life is a buffet, and I want to explore the world. So it's not only just traveling. It's like, I remember one night when I was little, for example, watching some circus, you know, on TV, blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning I got up, made my sister get on my shoulders, and was riding the bicycle with her on my shoulders outside. So just like, instead of my mother, and this is so typical of my mom, instead of her going, you know, get down, don't do that, she's like, just watch out for cars. You know, so it was the attitude of nothing is impossible. And my dad always teaching me to always find the humor in life. So anything I saw somebody do that I thought was cool, or some idea that I had in my head, and like if I was watching, you know, something about Kilimanjaro, and I would like, wow, I want to go to Kilimanjaro. But I'm not going to just go to Kilimanjaro. I should do a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro. So it wasn't enough for me to just travel. It was like, okay, I have to travel, but what can I do unique that nobody else has done there?
Right. Right. Well, tell me about that, about doing a book signing at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. That must have been something.
Yeah, you know, the way that it started was literally I was watching a movie, so it made me think about going to Kilimanjaro. But the way that it actually started, though, was I was writing a book. One of my books is called Adrenaline Adventures. And I was writing about this rock climbing adventure that I had done. And I wanted to make sure that the organization that I was writing about that I was writing about still existed. So I call up the guy and I go, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, you're still doing this rock climb thing and blah, blah, blah. And the guy goes, yeah, and we do mountain climbing. And so I said, and he named some mountain that I had never heard of. And I go, listen, no offense, but if I'm going to climb a mountain, I'm not climbing like Mount Bob. You know, it's got to be a mountain I've heard of. So he goes, well, what about Kilimanjaro? Now, I had heard of Kilimanjaro, but I had never, you know, I knew it was in Africa. I didn't know where it was, Tanzania, whatever. And so I said, well, you know, let me look into it. So I look it up and find out that an 83-year-old woman climbs Kilimanjaro. So I figured if an 83-year-old woman could do it, so could I. You know, but of course I didn't realize she was in a wheelchair and got airlifted up there, you know. So I was like, all right, fine. So I called the guy back. And he's, listen, I have this guy, Corbett Bishop, led the IMAX movie team up Kilimanjaro. So I said, all right. So he tells me that there's five routes up the east side, and there's one route up the west side. So I said, where are we going? He goes, up the Western Bridge. I said, why are we going? He goes, no one's there. It'll make it feel like more of an adventure. And that's where the marathon runners go. I'm like, why would I go where the marathon runners go? Do I look like a marathon runner to you? And he's like, no, that's not the point. There's nobody around. Of course, I'm thinking, well, okay, so what? So if like I die, they're going to roll me off the mountain? You know, but so now I get all excited. I don't want to do it by myself. So I run into my son's room. Spencer, guess what we're going to do? We're going to climb Kilimanjaro. And he just looks at me. And, you know, he was 11 at the time. He just looks at me and goes, Mom, I don't even like to walk. I go, no, you're missing the point. The glaciers are going to melt by the year 2016. He's like, Ma, it's 2004. We got time. I'm like, wrong attitude. If opportunity presents itself, you've got to do this. So now, we train, we're climbing up the mountain, and the night before the summit, it was minus 15 degrees, 45-mile-an-hour wind.
Oh.
Now, so our water and our camelback just freezing, we're climbing to the mountain, and my son's like, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. He's like, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. And then I'm thinking, we're going to die. What was I thinking? So I mean, like, there we are, midnight, because they wake you up at midnight because they want you to be able to see the sunrise
right
by the time it gets to the top. And so we make it to the top. And, of course, I figured, you know, I'm going to climb the mountain. Like I said, might as well do a book signing at the top of the mountain. So I get to the top of the mountain, and I set down my chair, and, you know, I have my book, and people are lined up, and I see other people climbing to the top, and they're looking at me. I go, listen, you're at the top of the mountain. What else are you going to do? Buy a book. So I did a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro.
That is hilarious. Fran Capo is with us as Nick DiGiulio show continues right here. She's a motivational speaker, comedian, an author, and a six-time world record holder of the fastest female clock talking. And we'll talk about that, too. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Where do you find time to write and perform and travel and all that stuff? I mean, you seem like incredibly busy. How do you manage your time?
You know what? It's just really based on what I feel like doing next. But I'm very organized. So if in my head, I decide I'm going to write a book. I mean, I've written 22 books. So two of them I actually wrote in 2 weeks.
Wow.
One of them I wrote in 3 hours. And the way that it is like if I say, oh, like one of my books is The Humor Approach. So it's a guide to adding humor in business in everyday life. And so what I say is, okay, this book, I, you know, do the outline, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, okay, it's got 10 chapters. Okay, if it's got 10 chapters, I have to write one chapter a day. And then one time, you know, so then I go a day to write it, a day to add the humor in it, a day to edit. And so then I give each chapter 3 days. And then I say 10 chapters should be 30 days. And let's say it starts to rain or I get sick or blah, blah, blah. So I always outline everything I'm going to do. And then I just plan for it. And in my mind, the second I get it, and that's always how I've been. It's like, I'm going to do this. I just have to figure out how to do it. My philosophy for anything is just say yes and figure it out later. So if I want to do something, I just say, okay, now what do I have to do it? And I do it till I accomplish it. And I somehow just fit it in. Okay, fine. When do you want to do that? You want to do that there? Okay, what do I need to do? And I just do it. And I just don't let anything get in my way.
All right. Fran Capo is with us. We'll continue our conversation. She's a comedian, a motivational speaker. She's written a bunch of books, and she also is a Guinness Book of World Records holder. The Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. It's Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200, if you want to join us for talk or text. And you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. I am talking with Fran Capo, who is a comedian, a motivational speaker, 22-time author, spokesperson, TV host, comedy producer, and a world record holder. And she stays kind of busy. 312-981-7200. So, Fran,
it just cracks me up the way you say it. She stays kind of busy.
Yeah. How is it that you can write those? You said you wrote a book in 3 hours.
Okay, that book, see, out of all the 22 books that I've written, because I've written everything from Adrenaline Adventures, The Humor Approach, How to Get Publicity Without a Publicist, all different types of books, but there was one book that happened to me that to this day, it's like really hard for me to explain. So the one that happened was I was, sleeping at 4 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden in my dream, I hear this thing, get up, you got to write a book. So I'm hearing like this voice and I'm going, wow, this is a really weird dream. And the voice keeps saying, get up, you got to write a book. So all of a sudden I get up. And I look around, don't hear anything, don't see anything. So I'm like, oh, that was a weird dream. Go back to sleep. And now I hear the voice and I'm awake. So I'm like, going, oh my gosh, am I dreaming? What? It's going, get up. You got to write this book. It has a message that can change the world. So I'm going, all right, listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know if I'm dreaming, but I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in the middle of writing another book called Adrenaline Adventures. And the voice says, write down this title, Hopeville, the City of Light. So I write down the title and I go, listen, okay, no offense, but I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. I wrote down the title. We're good. So I go back to sleep next morning, get up, take my kids to school, my mom to work, have to get my car fixed, go to the shop. This guy says the car's going to be fixed in, like 3 hours. I said, listen, could I just work in the back? So I'm going to work on my book, Adrenaline Adventures. Never had writer's block in my entire life. And all of a sudden I take out the computer, the laptop, to start typing part of the short chapter that I was writing. And my hands literally freeze. So I'm like, this is really weird. And I'm like, I can't sit here for 3 hours and not do anything. I go to type again, and it's like somebody stopping my fingers. So I said, oh, wow. So all of a sudden, I said, what was the name of that book I heard at like 4 o'clock in the morning? And I had the piece of paper that I had scribbled, and I write, Hopeville, the City of Light. And I swear to you, Nick, for the next 3 hours, I don't remember writing anything. I remember writing the word the end. And as I wrote it, the guy goes, Fran, your car's ready. But that's the weirdest thing that I've ever seen. I said, what? He goes, you stood there. You sat there typing. He goes, you didn't take a drink of water. You didn't go to the bathroom. You looked like you weren't breathing. I said, I honestly don't know what I wrote. I think I wrote a book. He's like, how do you not know? I said, I cannot tell you one word that's in this on this laptop. So I was on deadline for my other Adrenaline Adventures book. And so I didn't look at the book for like 3 weeks. Finally, I said, let me look at this thing that I wrote and see like if it has any, it makes any sense. So I look at it and it's this really detailed, complicated story of four people, a little boy that gets bullied, a successful businessman who all his life gave up everything, the love of a family, everything just to build his business, a widowed mother holding down three jobs, and an old man who feels he's got a lot of knowledge to impart, but nobody wants to listen to him because he's old. And on the same night, the four of them say a prayer, and an angel of light comes to them and tells them how if they just do something a little different, they can not only change their lives, but they could change the lives of people around them. And each of them doubt their capabilities to do it. I'm just a little boy. I'm just a widowed mother. But they listen to the angel, and they do it, and they transform the town. And in it, the 44 principles of happiness reveal itself. And so I was like, wow, this is a complicated story. And so, but it's just got a simple message in it. And so what happened was every time I would put any energy to the book, like I said, okay, I'm going to make it an ebook. And on the day that I made it an ebook, like the next day, 50 copies were sold. And then I left the book alone. I'm like, all right, you know, the voice said that you got to get the book out there, whatever. And then I said, oh, I really should do something with the book, because what if, you know, I go to heaven and God goes, listen, I gave you a book. You didn't do anything with it. Now you got to sweep. So I was like, you know, I better do something. So every single time I would put any energy to it, I swear, Nick, it was so weird. These weird things would happen. Like one night I said, all right, God, you know, you're telling me I got to get this the message of this hope-filled, the City of Life book out there. I don't know how to do it. The next morning, all of a sudden, I get a phone call and from a friend, and they go, wow, congratulations for being in Metro News. I'm like, what's Metro News? They go, the biggest newspaper in England. I go, what are you talking about? Then I get a call from somebody else, and they go, Fran, I just saw you on ABC News. I go, how's that possible? It's 6 o'clock. I'm sleeping. I was in bed sleeping. He goes, you're on the news. You're all over the place. It turned out a video I had done 3 years prior with True TV, the guy forgot to edit. The night I said the prayer, he edited it, put it online, and it went viral. So all these people started asking me to come on their show, and I said, okay, as long as you let me talk about Hopeville, the City of Light. And in one day, that book hit number 11 on Amazon.
Wow.
So that was the book that I wrote in 3 hours.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. Fran Capo is with us. She is a motivational speaker, an author, comedian. And she also has the Guinness World Work of Records, Book of World Records for fastest talking female, clocked in at 603 words per minute. and we will definitely talk about that. Definitely talk about that. So now, when did you find out? How does one find out that they're a really fast talker? How did that happen?
Well, so, you know, I was working at a radio station myself, WBLS-FM in New York, and I was doing stand-up comedy for them, you know, writing comedy bits for them. And one day, kidding around, I said, you know, I could do a really cool Mae West impression. But I called the character Junie, Mae West's long-lost sister. So the guy flings the weather and traffic copy at me, and all of a sudden, you know how in the radio the little red tally light comes on, yep. You got to start speaking. So I was like, I had the thing in front of me, so I'm like, predict the weather and traffic is. And in the 30 seconds I happened to do it, a lady from the Daily News was listening. And she goes, listen, I'm doing a story on weather and traffic, people. How long have you been doing it? So, yeah, I wasn't going to tell her 30 seconds. But I've been doing it a while. She goes, what are you planning on doing next? I didn't have a next, but I had a lady from the Daily News. So I said, oh, I'm thinking of breaking a world record. And she's like, for what? I said, well, I can't tell you to jinx it. So she said, well, my article goes in at 6 o'clock today. If you decide you want to let me know, give me a call. So I run out, buy it, get his book, start looking through it. Like, what record can I break? She's fast talking. Call them back. Call Guinness. Said, what do you have to do? They said something from Shakespeare, the Bible. Me and Shakespeare never got along, so I had a prayer from the Bible. So they call me up. I go on the record, you know, and I tell the lady that I'm thinking, you know, breaking the record. She prints it in the paper. Very next day, the Larry King Live people call me up and ask me to go on the show and break the record. And so then I go on the show, and I break the record, doing 585 words a minute, and then I re-break it at the Guinness Museum in Vegas, 603.32 words a minute, which is 11 words a second. So I was clocked at.
Wow.
And that's how I broke the record. And because of that, because I have all these different mindsets that allow me to just say yes and figure it out later and nothing is impossible, I did my first TEDx talk a month ago, and it talks about the 7 world record mindsets that I used to accomplish anything I want in life. And so I do, and I did the TEDx talk because I want people to have those same mindsets so they can apply it to anything they want to do in the world. You know, do they want to write a book? Do they want to have llamas at their wedding? I mean, you know, whatever they want to do.
All right.
And to be able to just stay. I mean, one of the records I just broke, and actually, if people go to Fran Capo, FRANCAPO, FranCapo.com, the TEDx talk is up there. But in the TEDx talk, and I don't know if you're familiar with them, you know, it's very detailed. You have to get nominated. You have to do these videos and the scripts and blah, blah, blah. And, you got to practice. And the lady goes, well, when you're up on the stage, you think you could do something unique. I'm like, what? Like, the TEDx talk isn't enough? And she's like, no, could you, like, break a world record on the stage? I'm like, oh, yeah, more pressure. Let me think about this. So then I was like, wait a minute. Your philosophy is just say yes and figure it out later. So I figured out a world record that I could do on the stage. And so I did my full TEDx talk, and then I broke a record on the stage. So that became my 8th world record.
Wow. Just like that. All right.
Just like that. And then the other thing is the record right before that was just a week before I became the first woman in the history of the world to zip line inside an active volcano.
Okay, we have to talk about that. There's no question that there's no way we're not going to talk about that. Fran Capo is with us. She's a comedian, motivational speaker. We'll continue the conversation here on the Nick DiGilio Show at 720 WGN. Every day I get you magic bus to get on the bus that takes me to you. The Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are going to talk about actors who got killed the most on screen. some ideas that shouldn't have worked but did, and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. I am currently speaking with Fran Capo, who is a comedian, a motivational speaker, author, spokesperson, comedy producer, and a six-time world record holder. Fran is here. Fran, okay, you got to tell us about the zip lining in the active volcano.
I will. First, but I do have to say it's eight-time world record holder.
Eight-time.
Because I just got those. I work hard for these records.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, out of the blue, I get an email from my friend Nick Halleck, and he says to me, hey, Fran, I'm going to Nicaragua, and we're going to go inside the active, with lava, the whole thing, active Masaya volcano. Do you want to go? So, of course, I'm like, oh, man, that'd be great. By the way, so when people see this, because in April, the great Walinda, the circus people, Nick Walinda, not to be mixed up with my friend Nick Halleck, is going to be a tightrope walking across the same exact volcano that I became the first woman in the history of the world to go into this volcano. So when you see that guy tightrope walking, you're going to go, hey, Frank Capra, that fast talker was there first. So... anyway, just so you know, I wasn't tightrope walking across the, I'm like, all right.
You mentioned him. He actually tightrope walked between the Marina Towers down here in Chicago.
Oh, when did he do that?
It was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
ago.
Cool, when you think about it? Look at this guy with the wings and everything. But, of course, it makes it, very nail-biting because, one wrong step, literally, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because they were telling me, Nick's going to be here. But the thing was, so they set it up and we're at the top of the volcano. Now you have to understand, you're at the top of a volcano. This is not luxury living here. You're at the top of the volcano. You're staying in tents. I don't know if you know what Pele hairs are, but when a volcano erupts, these thin fibers from the heat shoot up in the air, but when it hits the cold air, then the fibers crystallize and fall to the ground, and they're like shards of glass everywhere along the top of the volcano. Mm. Well, when you're at the top of the volcano and you're waiting for them to rig up the lines, and you got to be very careful because the sulfur disintegrates the lines, and you got to wear gas masks because there's also carbon monoxide. Well, there's no bathroom at the top of a volcano, and there's no tree to hide behind. So you got to walk pretty far to go to the bathroom at night when you're doing this, and you got to be careful where you go because you don't want to be sitting on Pele hands. So, it's like there's many obstacles up there.
Yeah.
So now you're going and you go down into the zip line. It takes about a half an hour to go from the top of the volcano down to the platform, because there's different platforms, down to the platform where you could look in and see the active lava. And there's a line that goes, over it. And so we're walking around down there. Anyway, I was the first one down. And then after a couple of hours, we actually had a barbecue down there. We're enjoying ourselves down there. I was with this guy, Rodolfo, who was the guy that set up the line, and this other guy, Jeff, and his riggers that set up, the rest of the zip line. And then on the way up, I'm halfway up, and I'm like, oh, that was fun, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, the zip line stops.
Uh-oh.
And I hear, because I have a little radio, and there's videos of this on my website, FranCapo.com. And I hear on the radio, but I actually hear the guys going, oh, I'm not going to use the word, oh, man, the handle broke. I went, oh, that is not a good thing. And then I hear them go, oh, Fran, are you okay? I go, yeah, I'm fine. What's happening? And I already heard them say the handle broke. So they go, we ran out of kerosene. I said, okay. And I'm thinking, where are you going to get kerosene? At the top of a volcano. So they go, we're working on getting you up. So I was there. I'm stuck between the top of the volcano and the platform, like where the lava is. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, might as well take out my phone and video myself. So I video myself. I go, well, I'm pretty comfortable. Stuck here. I go, I'm not quite sure how long I'll be here. I said, well, at least the voltages are gone. And it's it on cue, like in an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Like a dozen vultures start circling me. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like meat on a stick.
Ugh.
And they go, rah, 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 rah. Finally, I feel the rope moving, getting me back up, but like very jerky, like a little bit stop, a little bit stop. I get to the top and I found out 7 people had to manually haul me back up the volcano.
Wow.
So it was, and everybody's like, were you scared? I go, well, kind of my mindset about everything. Well, what's the point of being scared? That's not going to get me off the line any quicker. It'll make it worse for the other people. So might as well enjoy what's going on.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But the video of it is actually pretty cool because you see the lava down below. I'm wearing the mask, me dangling. I show you how far up it is and how far down it is. So you see that I'm literally dangling in the middle. So, I mean, I've done crazy things. I've tornado chased, I've eaten fire, bungee cord jump. And I talk about all of this. I decided to do a one-woman show because stand-up is kind of limited in the sense. I love doing stand-up. I've been doing it for years, but it's kind of limited because you got to do set-up, punchline, you know.
Right.
But in my Love, Laughter, and Light show, I combine my stand-up comedy with my wild adventures and my motivation. So it's a combination of my TEDx talk and my stand-up comedy becomes my one-woman show, Love, Laughter, and Light.
Wow. Fran Capo, having a great conversation here, and it continues here on the Nick DiGilio Show on 720 WGN. How did you get into comedy, Fran?
You know, again, everything in my life, you know, that philosophy of just say yes, figure it out later. I was... the way that I got into stand-up was I was going to college, Queens College, and I wanted to do stand-up, but, like, not many people were, you know, really doing, and not many women were doing it at the time, you know, at that point. And I was an accounting and philosophy major. So, you know, it doesn't even make sense. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. Why? You know, the two don't even go together, you know? So I wanted to do it, and I remember, again, I just believe in Mother Mary, believe in God, and I was like, all right, Mom, all right, Mother Mary, you know, God, if I'm supposed to do stand-up comedy, give me a sign. And so I wind up going to a car show, and there's like this handwriting analysis thing, and it says, you have a good sense of humor. Use it to make money. I go, ah, that's just some stupid handwriting analysis thing. Then the next thing comes along. I'm online at Great Adventures in Jersey, and I'm talking to my friend, and some guy taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, wow, I just got to tell you, you're really funny. You should be a stand-up comic. And I'm like, eh, that's just some guy online behind me. And, of course, God, I'm sure, is going, you know, boy, this girl is thick. How many signs are we going to give her? So I was like, you know, he's like, you know, I want to win the lottery, buy a ticket. You know, it's that type of thing. So now I keep saying, all right, God, I need you to give me a sign that's like really clear. And by the way, can you make it convenient? Because, you know, hey. So I go in to go to my philosophy class in Queens College, and I go to enter the front door, and the door is locked, and the door that I normally go in. So I go in the side door. And right in front of me, talk about give me a sign, is this big sign that says stand-up comedy auditions today. The winner performs at Creighton and Gray. My college was 20 minutes from where I lived. Creighton and Gray's was an Irish pub 2 blocks from my house.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, wow. And they had never done stand-up comedy before. And it was their first time. And so I was like, well, there's my sign. And then I look and it says auditions today. And I look at my watch, and the auditions were ending in 5 minutes. And I had to decide whether I should go to class, and I've never missed a class. I was one of those kids that had perfect attendance.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I looked to see where the audition was, and it was in a broom closet. Not exaggerating. It was a guy and a mop and a broom. And I walk in there and go, is this the auditions? He goes, yeah, it's the only place I can get. So I didn't even have an act or anything. I don't know what I said to this guy. Whatever I said it. And he goes, well, we're going to let the winners know in a couple of days. I said, all right, I go, I run to class, make it a class, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I haven't heard from this guy. And I go, I guess I didn't win. And then all of a sudden, I look and I go back to where the sign was, and it said, Frank Capo, contact us. And then I contact the guy. He goes, you ran out and didn't leave your phone number. He goes, you won the contest. And so then what happened was, I said, well, when's the show? And this was a Monday. He goes, the show's on Friday. And I go, how long do I have to do? He goes, 5 minutes. I go, okay. So I'm thinking of 5 minutes. The next day, Tuesday, he calls me, listen, you got to do 10 minutes. I go, 10 minutes? I'm like, this is my first time ever on stage. So then by Friday night, he told me I had to do a half an hour for the first time ever on stage. Can you imagine? I had no act. I had 1 week to write it. So I took a little teddy bear on stage, called up all my friends. What's the funniest thing I ever told you? Had notes on the back. The very first night, I got a standing ovation. They hired me to do it the second night. The first night I was acting pure on just a, you know, blah, 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 saying my stuff. The second night I was trying to imitate what I had done the first night, and I wasn't in the moment, and I bombed. So scared to come out of the bathroom that I hid in the bathroom, locked the door, wouldn't let the audience in. My mom got upset. She got so drunk, fell off a chair. And then I was, you know, my boyfriend's trying to get me out. Come out. People have to use the bathroom. No, no, no. I bombed. I can't go. And then somebody had seen me from a newspaper. And the first night, thank God, wrote a story about me. And then some other booker, who turned out later on to be Tim Allen's manager. At that time, he was just a bartender, Rick Messina. And he said, I saw you do stand-up. I go, Friday or Saturday? He goes, Friday. I go, good, good. He goes, I'd like you to come to my club. That was 6 months later. And then from that time on, I started doing stand-up.
Yeah. I did some stand-up for a little while, Fran. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing.
No, it's not. Oh, congratulations, though, for doing it, right? And people don't realize, because everybody will come up to you and go, oh, let me give you a joke. Yeah, like, oh, yeah thanks. Not exactly how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. Yeah.
All right. Fran Capo, we continue our conversation. And she is also she's an 8-time world record holder. And one of them is the fastest talking female clocked. And we're going to get a little example of that and more. 312-981-7200 is our phone number for talk and text, and two for Tuesday requests. And the Nick DiGiulio show continues. The Nick DiGiulio show continues here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4. It's two for Tuesday. You pick the songs that we hear every morning on the show, and we have a different theme every morning and every night, and it is two for Tuesday. That means one artist, two songs. Who requested the Who?
So that Who twofer was brought to us by Ryan.
Ryan, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We're chatting with Fran Capo. She's a comedian, motivational speaker, 22-time author, spokesperson, TV host, comedy producer, 8-time world record holder, and we're having a fun time talking to Fran. Fran, how did you discover that you talked so fast?
Well, I told you that was about the Larry King Live show.
The Larry King, yeah.
So that's pretty much how I discovered that I talk so fast. And then one thing led to another, and then I got started to ask to do commercials. And I would do a lot of the stuff that I get hired for by corporations is to pretend like I'm an imposter, and they bring me in as if I'm a salesperson. And then I pretend that I'm getting nervous on stage. And then, you know, and then I start talking really fast. I play pranks on Martha Stewart on the show, on Dr. Oz. They had me go on Dr. Oz and pretend that I was a person in the audience really nervous and giving him a cure to hiccups. So all these things are online, and then I get hired to do commercials and stuff. So my fast talking is really, you know, panned out. Even talked my way out of a ticket. You would think the cop would just say, shut up, just go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, so I did that. And then when I get hired, obviously, and especially when I do a lot of schools and corporations, everybody wants to hear the fast talking. So at the end, even at the end of my stand-up and at the end of my Love, Laughter, and Light, I give a demo, and I do this thing called Evelyn Wood reading her kids a bedtime story. So it goes like this. Okay, kids, mommy's going to read you The Three Little Pigs. One pig come, three little pigs. One little pig likes to sing, the second little pig likes to dance, the third little pig likes to sit and think. Then a big red wolf came along, then a big little pig let me in. Up and pitch each chin, up and above, let's see the other buff. What's the next pitch out? Little pig, little pig let me in. Up and pitch each chin, up and above. What's the second pitch out? Little pig let me in. Up and pitch each chin, up and above, up and above. You got somebody to climb up the chimney. Pig set up on a boiling water, wolf and evil soup. Tomorrow, war and peace.
Oh, that's very entertaining. That is really, really good.
See, can you imagine? Because what, like my son, he would always go, I would go, that's it, bedtime story. He says, Mom, I'm not tired.
Yeah. You know? That's amazing. So now, when did you first, so when you started to do comedy, was that before you did the Larry King thing, right?
Right. The stand-up comedy came first. And then actually, the stand-up comedy came, and then I worked at WBLS FM radio. And while I was at the radio station, because that lady called me, and I wanted to just think of something, again, it was just that just say yes and figure it out later philosophy. I was like, well, what could I say to make it different? Like, you know, oh, there's, you know, 1,000 stand-up comics. How can I make myself stand out? So I said I was going to break a world record. I mean, I didn't have it in mind prior, but then when I got the, you know, call, I was like, oh, now I better really think of something, you know, and then that's what came up. And pretty much in life, I just go, you know, what's the worst that happens? You try something, it works. It doesn't, you know. So there's an old Japanese saying, fall down 7 times, get up 8. As long as you get up one more time, then you fall down, you're good. So it's like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But right now I'm in, training to go to Vietnam. I'm actually going to hike inside the world's largest cave. So I'm in training because you have to do a 12-mile hike through the jungle, through the water, over rock scrambles, over walls that are waist high. Depends whose waist. I'm a short girl. Hopefully it's a low waist. And, and so I'm literally in training doing this stuff because I'm, going to be doing it in a little bit. And so I have to get ready to do this. And I got to think, maybe I'll try to break another record there. I don't know. Right now, I'm just trying to make sure that I make it to the game.
What was your first world record?
Was the fast talking.
Oh, it's okay.
The first world record was the fast talking and the second world record because I did it at 585 words a minute and then I rebroke it 603. So the first two records were the fast talking. Then the other record that I broke was I did the book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro.
Right.
Then I did a book signing down by the wreck site of the Titanic. And then I did a song that went from, it was Adrenaline, Adventure Girl, that went from concept to national airplay in 24 hours. And then the other record, obviously I told you, was breaking the world record on the TEDx stage, which was doing the fastest TEDx talk, because I did my entire 18-minute talk, and then I redid the entire talk in under a minute. And then the volcano, and then the other one was, I went with 29 chiropractors to the Dominican Republic, and we saw 21,695 patients in 2 days.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, Fran, do you ever rest?
Well, you think it's 3 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know. What's the answer?
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's funny because when and this is what I say about people, like, you know, you could speak to some people and they say, you go, what's new? And they say nothing and they mean it. And I'm like, listen, God gave you a life. So I look at it as if it's like one big buffet table. And it's, I want to try a little bit of everything, things that I want to try. If somebody tells me something and I don't want to do it, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. But it's things I want to try because I feel like you're lucky to have this life. And why waste it not learning and exploring and pushing your limits to see what else you can do? How, like, all right, I could have just climbed Kilimanjaro, but to me that wasn't enough. I needed to go bigger and bolder. Mm-hmm. All right, so what can I do at the top? All right, I'll do a book signing at the top, you know, down by the wreck site of the Titanic. All right, I did a book signing at the top of the world. Why not a book signing in the depths of the sea? But that wasn't enough, so I became an ordained minister to be the first person to ever say a prayer down by the wreck site. So it's just like my mind just goes, like, even in my wedding, I didn't want to decide, I mean, this is my third wedding to my husband now, to this husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And And, you know, I said, listen, I've been married 3 times. I mean, we you know, if we can't do something exciting, you know, we got to. So we had a friend of mine, Brodini, who's the world's fastest knife thrower. And we did this whole thing. With first, I had my husband delivered to the altar in handcuffs. And then I pretended I lost the handcuffs, and Brodini could get people out of handcuffs the fastest with a bobby pin. And then when it was time for the first dance, okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. and Mrs. Wait, hold on. We found out Fran and Steve took out insurance policy against each other, and they hired a hitman as the minister. And then he unveils a knife throwing board, and then we have knives thrown at us at the wedding. So yeah, people at the wedding were like, what are they doing? And then I had a friend of mine, Nancy Lombardo, dressed up. She's a stand-up comic, dressed up as a nun, break into the wedding and go, stop the wedding. He's a Jew. She's Italian. They've been living in sin. And we're like, too late, sister, we're married. Then another friend of mine, Gemini, who's a ventriloquist, we had him put a mask on Steve and pretend he was a dummy. I mean, this is the type of way that I just, everything, I have one bathroom in my house that looks like Egypt with pyramids and little hieroglyphics on the wall that say poop and peace. I have ostriches peeking in the window of my house. So when people look out the window, they go, is that an ostrich looking in your house? I mean, at birthday parties, I have 150-foot slides that go through the backyard. I'll have baby wallabies and alligators at the party. I just love to explore life and live it to the fullest that God gave me. And that's what my TEDx talk is about, how you can live a happy life, the life you want, how you control your life. So I would love for all your listeners to listen to the TEDx. All they have to do is go Fran Capo TEDx, and or, you know, I have that Love, Laughter, and Light show, it's a Love, Laughter, and Light one-woman show where I go around to schools, corporations, and just instill in people the feeling of nothing is impossible, but tell them how they can do it to live their life to the fullest. And that is truly why I feel I'm on this earth, to give people motivation, to make them laugh, and to do these wild adventures, so explore everything that God has given me.
So the TEDx speaking is that's available on your website as well?
It's available on my website as well at FranCapo.com. It's available on the front page of the website, or if you know people aren't coming to the website, they could just go to they could go to TEDx Fran Capo, or just go to FranCapo.com.
All right. Well, it certainly has been a blast talking to you, Fran. And you certainly have in your time zone, it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning, but you sound like it's 9 in the morning right now. You're ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah. After this, maybe I'll do a few jumping jacks and go back to bed.
Yeah, I was going to say after we say goodbye, you'll probably end up writing 2 books. That would be my.
Yeah, that's right. Nick, maybe I'll write one on you.
There we go. All right. Very good. Fran Capo, everybody, comedian, motivational speaker. Check out FranCapo.com. Real pleasure talking to you, Fran. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. There you go. All right. The news is coming up in just a couple of minutes as the Nick DeGilio Show continues.